my wife is in the kitchen taking care of something, and she just hears me holler from the living room. Hey, honey, come in here and check out this guy's pecker.
Going, oh god, how do I do this? How do I do this? Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night. Wait, Monday. Oh god, nope, that was bad. See, that's what happens. It fell apart.
We're live, pal.
Yeah, well, fuck it, we're doing it live.
No, that's not fair because now I can't edit that out.
Hilarious.
Oh, be fucking good. So, you know what? Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, are doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars, making it everyone's problem harder in a row, because I fucked it up. And this week's sassy guests, there's two of them, are... Fight amongst yourselves.
Woohoo! Oh, shit. You go first.
Oh gosh. Hi, Piper Willow. She also joined by
I'm the ultimate hamster. And I'm getting a comic book. And I'm holding a baby. I shouldn't be. I'm holding a baby.
Dude, okay, y'all are killing me. That was amazing. That was better than anything I could hope for. First of all, again, I'm not gonna want to take out the 5 seconds of like, oh, well, I guess I'll go. You know, all means. Like, it was just it was the sweetest thing. Y'all are so cute. My horse people to me. So yes, hamster, the ultimate hamster with a baby. For some reason, in Piper Willow's back.
I'm here for my third or fourth back. Time. Nobody's really sure.
I stopped keeping count at some point, because at this point, this week, unfortunately, she had something come up and was not able to make it, and that is why I go into the Discord server and I say, horse people to me, and y'all show up and go, want to watch some graphs? And I'm like, yeah, if you could, that'd be cool.
Nothing going on, and it's the perfect time for it.
Tuesday night, sure. What else is there going on in my life?
Tuesday night's all right for fighting, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually quite enjoy, I miss watching the Monday nights, because they're also a lot shorter. And they tend to be a lot more fast-paced than...
Yeah, I saw a 45-minute Raw, and I was like, oh... Fantastic.
I know.
You say that now, Hamster, and I feel like Homer as I get into you go for now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this may also be sort of like a breath of fresh air after coming off of Slambury, which took like 6.5 years off my life.
It took 6.5 years to watch. Yeah.
It felt like that. Yeah. I was going to say 6.5 hours, but actually, that felt like years.
Fine. It really did.
The timer never moved. You would check.
We were just frozen in time.
Jesus. Just trapped in 1996 with like no way to get out and no way to warn people.
No way to warn people in 14 matches on the card.
Oh my God.
And most of them don't make sense. And you get a Jushin Liger in there. That's pretty sweet. So what we're talking about, folks, patreon.com/MNFFpod.
Subscribe.
You can hear this same group of folks watch Slavery 1996.
Torture themselves with Slavery 1996.
You know what it was? It was very much what I imagine Macho Man has been going through with Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
With less cuckoldry, which I have feelings on.
Yeah, a little less.
A little less. really like knowing like I have to be here and I can't look away. No, you know, and like is terrible. It's just torture. It's bad.
Yeah.
And everyone's gaslighting you and telling you it's the greatest thing. Like, Lethal Lottery, we love it. I'm like, no, you're lying. These are lies.
Low-key, yeah. In the Steiner Brothers, Fire and Ice, not to get totally right into it, but I'm just like, and was I wrong? Was it good, actually? Like, it's just like everybody at WCW is gaslighting, like, on all levels.
Yeah, because, like, I watched the episode, and I was like, wait a minute, all these people were involved in this show the previous night. They're putting on good matches here.
Yeah.
It really came out. So let's get, no, it really does. You're right. It plays into it. So let's talk about Nitro.
Let's talk about Nitro.
Nitro, let's get, because it played this the night after the Slamboree in discussion, the most lethal of lotteries, almost killed us. And like a Doctor Who likes making you live 1,000 years to end your own life in like an Ouroboros kind of way. Like,
honestly, yes.
Yeah, it's lethal, not it for was, you, not, or not for me. Just not for like me.
Holy shit, it's like a weeping angel. Yeah, like it's real. It was really fucked. I can't stress enough how fucked up and bad it was. So we did that. Thank you. Love you, folks. And this is directly the night after. So yeah. Let's talk about that. Because, we're our first match in Steiner's, isn't it? Yeah, like right away.
Oh, holy yeah. It's great. It's fucking great.
Yeah, those two guys walked out, and I was like, damn, look at those two brick shit houses. And then the Steiners walked out, and I went, damn, look at those four brick shit houses.
Yeah, exactly.
These are big people just throwing each other around, and it was incredible.
This was big, meaty men slapping meat. And
yeah.
This
was it. And it was fantastic. Purest form. Yeah, you distill it into its purest form, and it really was great. And, like, the thing is, we could have had batteries. It pisses me off. But
exactly,
I almost went past like the saddest part. We gotta get it out of the way. It's the saddest thing. It's live as live can be, but that's a lie, Eric, because my live is not as live as it could be, and it never will be again.
Jesus.
Cue the Sarah McLachlan music.
I will remember you.
Slow Ken Burns pans of Pepe and black and white.
Our agent of chaos, our sweet, sweet, exponentially more perverted cuckold, our dear Mongo McMichael.
It's spread into other couples now. It's fascinating.
It's spreading through the industry. It's wild. But it's not the
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And thus, neither is Pepe, and I hate this. Yeah. He'll never be back again, and I'm so sad.
Aww.
But his daddy is training to beat up Flair for making sweet, sweet love to his beloved.
Yeah, that's crazy. So who hasn't?
Beloved wife, Deborah. You know, you have a career switch sometimes. he's off to become a big boy where the big boys play and start his wrestling career, and spoilers, no one liked that.
And everybody disliked.
Yeah, everyone disliked. It was not good.
Oh, no.
But thankfully, we get meaty men slapping meat. The graps, my notes are sparse this week, folks. And part of it is because a lot of even the good graps to me were forgettable this week. And that's weird. Is that weird? Was that just me?
I thought all the wrestling on Nitro was good, but I watched it maybe 2 hours ago, and yeah, I'm like, what the hell even happened in that match? They threw each other around,
yeah, and then it
ended in a countout because
They all paired off and they were all wrestling outside the ring.
They had too much fun throwing meats, is what happened.
Relatable.
Woof. But no, like they're having way too much fun being large men slapping meats as we do. They just get a double count out on a count on the outside. Like, rightfully booze it. This match was silly in not the fun way. It was silly without whimsy. How dare.
good call. Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought all of these matches were actually relatively short, except the Eddie versus Rick. Watching Rick suplex Scott Norton like NBD was fucking wild. And then watching Rick Steiner get double teamed by Fire and Ice off the top ropes, like, that was incredible.
Those were my big stand up.
Yeah, there's just like, what, they're 280, 300 a piece? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, just holy shit.
It's tough to make the Steiners look small.
Yeah.
They tried. They got close, yeah.
And they did. Like, yeah, I looked and I'm like, Scott Steiner looks like a normal person.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah. What did I just say?
Well, yeah, did I just say that out loud? Because he's not. He's not. He's a he's genetic not. Freak. Yeah, he lets us know.
He's not normal.
I love it. I'll never get over the fact, it's like, I'm a genetic freak, and it's like, sure, Jan, that's genetics. That's what that is. Yeah,
not certainly not.
Yeah, you're absolutely a fucking freak, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Eddie versus Rick, let's fucking go!
No. yeah, where were we? Just about there. No.
Yeah.
Nothing weird happened, folks. The editor did magic. things of that nature. to use
you didn't notice anything.
You say anything, unquestionably. Yeah. But yes, long story short, big meaty men doing the meat things. Good, fine. It was fine, but
I wanted to watch that for 90 minutes, but
yeah.
Bischoff had other things to say.
Other things to do, and we have to look at WCW magazine, which I wanted to briefly touch on.
That was really funny.
I love this ad so much.
Specifically, Giant's pose on the cover this month was something else. He's showing leg. I was proud of you, Paul.
Yeah. It was spicy, honestly. I was just like, wow, okay.
Thank you. Again, I wasn't the only one to notice that. That felt like he was like putting it out there, but I was like, all right, okay. Sure, yeah. Let's go. Maybe you heard about what Sean was up to, but we'll get
there. I was just about to say, referencing another magazine that we will talk about in a little bit.
Oh my God. How did they find out? They're like, it happened that morning. They're like, Paul, quick, we need you to do a photo shoot.
Quick, show some leg.
But real sexy, like, just like you said, boss.
I got those real sexy pictures of the Giant, just like you asked for. Mr. Bischoff, what? Can you imagine being like, okay.
Here you go, Mr. Jameson, just what you wanted.
I need you to serve some. Some, yeah. It does. Where? Oh my God!
Ooh la la! Ooh la la! That's terrible. But yes, sexy Giant man.
Yeah.
All that to say, we weren't just gonna skip past that. That was
amazing. No.
Needs to be acknowledged.
A child transforming into Sting. Sting transforming into a child.
It happens every week. So I don't mention it every week because I know it will get repetitive, but it's every once in a while we have to remind folks they did that. Staying transmorcified into a child and back every week, at least once a week.
Wow. Good for him.
Now it's Ric Flair time. Ric Flair!
I was real shady in my notes. I was like, oh, is he actually going to show up for this fight? Is Arn Anderson going to show up? Like, it was like double or nothing. Arn bails his ass out because I was just like, Rick can't fight his own fights because
he's done it before.
Yeah.
Hampton, I think you specifically have been burned by this before.
I have. This is one of my first. Like real big matches with him was him hurting my beautiful hot dog boy Lex Luger.
Not and Luther. Sting, yes. No,
Sting.
Right? It's just him hurting everybody. And he turns on Sting and he was supposed to fight Rick. So now they actually go. But more importantly, Woman and Liz are here in a pink and black this week, and thus I'm in love.
Oh my god, Elizabeth's outfit.
So fantastic.
Both of them. And oh my god, it's so great. And like, fuck Rick Forever. I hate the whole collecting wives thing is a little
Jesus.
Yeah,
love that they color coordinate though. it's always gonna be this so good. Like, fuck it. Like, this is ridiculous, but we're gonna do a good job. We're just no way we're not gonna look amazing.
It was a great look at like WCW women's fashion from like the early 90s with woman into the future of what would be with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
All in little accessory outfits for Ric Flair.
Yeah, God.
Wild. Oh, God. Yeah. I suppose like that's where you get, I mean, that's like the cream of the crop when you have other people, like your accessories are other people.
Basically,
I guess that's making it. That's what they tell me, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's certainly what they told me in 1996 when I was like, okay, now tell me how to be man. What?
Oh my.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Speaking of which, the misogyny wrapped up in Elizabeth spending and taking Macho Man's money and all this stuff. I was just like, this is like laying the ground for red pill incel shit. Like,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where it came from. It's like, it's not new. Like this, this is absolutely, I think of the movie. Oh God. What was that movie?
Hints.
Demi Moore playing a stripper. Ving Rhames is there. Burt Reynolds is there. And he's oiled up. Oh, this is gonna bother me. I hope people are. I feel like people are listening.
I got nothing, unfortunately.
Oh my god, I can think of lines.
Well, I mean,
from
we
the
have
movie.
Striptease.
Thank you.
I was like, we have the. Oh, speaking of which, came out in 1996.
I was about to ask what year it came out, because if it came out in 1996, I was a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were literally a baby. So that makes sense.
Tiny little baby.
I'm not even 6 months old when this airs.
But a plot point in that movie is like a couple separating and like custody issues and like the dude feeling like fucked over and shit. And like,
yeah.
It was everywhere. Like, that's, it's not new, and like, this is where it comes from. So like, unga. In meantime, again, they're doing that, and Macho Man, they're calling him like crazy
apparently.
Yes! Yeah.
And shit, it's like, no, dude, he's reacting normally.
Yeah, right. Saying that he needs to be institutionalized for a couple years. Like, no.
Right.
No,
oh my god.
In the right for this one.
Yeah, no, Rick needs to stop fucking his wife and spending his money.
Yeah, who is the crazy one here?
Like, even if we take it's like, no, he's right here, you fucking assholes.
Because
all right, I keep saying it, but oh my god.
Because part of this whole build-up also is he, like, Savage goes off the deep end at Slambery, assaults Ric Flair at a pay-per-view wrestling event,
yeah.
And then gets committed, or you know, the police take him away, he gets committed, and there's like and now Bobby is here telling that he's very afraid for himself as an announcer because Rick's been very just unhinged and unpredictable. He's
Rick's
not allowed
great.
Yeah, he's not allowed on the premise, like, just all this kind of stuff.
They're really laying it on thick. Yeah.
Oh yeah, super laying it on thick, because Macho Man was just like, hey, I have an issue with you having sex with my wife and spending my money.
Yeah, I think it's a problem. Well, mostly also like, you like, I feel like it's also like, man, where it's like, it's fine, we're divorced, it's her money, I signed the prenup, I get it, yeah, but I have a problem with you rubbing in my face and making me sound like an asshole. And like, it's like, he's literally just like, can you just not be a,
that's as simple as,
yeah,
think about it. She's her own woman, yeah, you know. But just stop rubbing it in my face. Just stop it, like, boundaries. And again, like, this seems reasonable.
Yeah. Once again, WCW establishing boundaries.
Yes, the C stands for consent. God, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I
no,
don't.
Not tonight, it didn't.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because after the wonderful match between those guys wrapped up,
yeah, I was gonna
say, Ric Flair joined the commentary for the night.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, we should give this match a
yeah.
I should at least say this match was pretty great, in my opinion. I don't have a lot of
play-by-play.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I don't have like a lot of like play-by-play on this, unlike the other matches this week, because they're forgettable, because I was just watching the shit out of these two.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's just two masters of doing their thing no matter what. Well, I'll say like this really shows through here specifically because... well, Rick is clearly leading the dance, you know, as the heel shall do.
Yeah.
But he's having Eddie hit these great lucha spots just at Ric Flair's pace. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I've been happy seeing this on a modern pay-per-view. Like, I was like, this is a pay-per-view match. Like, this is good. Like, it's got good length. Yeah. It's a bit of a barn burner, but not like, you know, like crazy high work rate. It was good.
Yeah, nothing too like ridiculous and hokey. You had a cheat to win finish,
yeah.
But you have Eddie Guerrero and Ric Flair in a match. Somebody's gonna cheat to win.
I was also just an incredible match. I loved Eddie's really being really emphasizing the pain that he took to the legs. Into his knees. I thought he played it so well, and I was rooting for him so hard, and it and Rick does such a good job of playing a piece of shit, and when he cheated it was very satisfying despite the fact that Eddie lost.
I've got some bad news for you. He wasn't playing. Ric Flair used to be a piece of shit, but he is in fact still a piece of shit.
Slick him back, slap him up, let's go.
Oh my God, wait.
Yeah, Ric Flair loves sloppy steaks.
He does. People can change, but not Ric Flair is what you're
there it is.
People can change,
right.
But not Ric Flair.
Okay, I got really nervous. I thought you were talking about Eddie really hurting his knee. Yeah, you're talking about.
So did I for a second. I was like,
what?
No.
But no,
oh,
no,
God.
Right.
Oh, God, Piper, you freaked me out.
I was like, oh, okay. Rick is always consistently a piece of shit because that's what Ric Flair
is. Fine.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Eddie hits that huge frog splash, and it was great, but he hurts in the process, and that was what leads to the figure four parentheses pin. I forget there's a third type of figure four. Parentheses,
right.
Finisher, parentheses, hold, parentheses, pin. So there you go. I thought he sold it so good. I thought you meant that for a second. Jesus Christ. But holy fuck, it's great. The other thing too, the other thing that he dope walk and drops on Rick for a Hurricane Rana, that was like,
yes.
Beautiful. And Rick.
Yeah, that was really good.
He sold it with like some snap, you know, and I wasn't expecting that from an older Ric Flair at this point. If you watch one match this week, this is the one to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is my lock of the week for sure.
Yeah, the only problem I had with it, and it's not really anyone's fault because there's no time machines. The Eddie Guerrero, you mentioned it, Piper, someone's going to cheat. The Eddie Guerrero that I love would have stopped at the VIP Four Horsemen table on his way out and like grabbed a piece of fruit and popped it in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, at the close-up at the end of the show, at the end of the show, while it was up at the announce table, that shit looked fake as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. it did. I was going to say that makes sense, but that would have been so good. Anyways.
Yeah.
Before we move on super quickly, Piper, since you're here,
yes.
I would love for you to make a strike against Bobby Heenan for saying Orient.
Oh God!
Yeah, no, Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby gets one. Rick gets a handful.
Might be on the toes
at this point with Rick tonight.
On the Patreon, when sometimes things get loopy, some of these pay-per-views go long, okay? Some of us get a little out of pocket. Sometimes I say Diana Hart could get it. It's immediate strike. Did you hear the sigh from Piper?
That is just the evergreen. There is always a strike, and it is always that statement.
So that's kind of the, well, because it's bar, goddammit.
Yeah, that's true. That is the strike that all of the strikes are measured against. I have a loose sense of morality here that I have come to wield with a, I won't call it an iron fist, but some kind of arbiter of right and wrong in this wacky world of pro wrestling that we've all put together.
Long story short, Piper is the arbiter of the strikes. If someone goes a little too far. So yeah.
Holy shit, Ric Flair was fucking out of pocket on this show.
Oh my God. Now they gotta call me 120 minute man. I was like, girl.
You're talking about how it used to stand for four horsemen. Now guess what it means. Like, good God.
Okay, hold on. None of this makes sense to the... And Rick is at the commentary table with his accoutrement from the VIP section with Liz and Woman. Bobby is in pig fucking heaven, and I'm so happy for him. He's got champagne.
He's trying to light candles.
Yeah, trying to light
candles. It was so dumb. No, the candles were real. Champagne.
The two real things, yeah. But yes, so sure enough, he says the four. Yeah, we don't see it. This happens during the next match. We don't see it because it's
Sting and Lex Luger versus the Faces of Fear.
Yeah, Stinger and Lexi Poo, his best friend.
Their
best friend powers activate so hard this match.
I know.
Stinging in his weird like middle school phase where it's post Sting, but pre the next evolution of Sting. So he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Lex looks trash.
Keeper Sting.
Yeah, he does.
Lex looks huge.
Yeah. He is juiced the fuck up.
Oh, speaking of juiced, Rick spills that Liz love when Lex does the best friend peck wiggle.
Yeah. I got really sad when they started talking about Liz and Lex Luger in the same sentence.
Yeah. It's just like, holy shit, did he know?
Yeah, what did you know, Rick?
Yeah.
I'm sure he fucking knew.
Absolutely. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah.
Hey, we are talking the Faces of Fear, which is important.
Mangan, but the Barbarian. Also, two excellent wrestlers
that
were on the show last night.
Barbarian, because they just weren't allowed to be a tag team. But it does bring me to an important thing. this week's threatened transgendering. That's right, folks. Our demands of basic human dignity and public services have been ignored for another week, so we must trans the gender of another classic wrestler. So,
okay, I'm in.
Yeah,
that I present to the people. Womang. Yeah, yeah. Suck it, Chuds. There you go.
Whoa. Okay, woman. Okay.
Womang. See? Womang.
Womang.
Womang. See?
Okay.
We're transing the gender of Mang. There you go. Suck it.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. No.
I will pre-strike myself here and say it's Haku with Unich Naturals.
Thank you. It was a stretch. It was certain. This match is pretty great in general otherwise. But
yeah. That top rope throw that Barbarian did.
Yes.
On Sting, where Sting almost lands on his fucking head.
Yeah.
That shit was rough.
They ran Sting ragged. Like it was rough.
Yeah, sure enough, Rick tells us, and we get there. This happens during this match.
Yeah.
The four fingers, we don't hear it, but the four fingers used to mean four horsemen. You know what it means now? Look over Eric's shoulder. So he is referring to the four delightful breasts of woman and Liz collectively.
Is that what you were thinking of?
That's what I was thinking.
That was not what I was thinking about.
What were you thinking?
Okay, Hamper, what were you thinking?
Two hands, two women, two fingers, and two different vaginas.
Yes, that's where I went. That's where my mind immediately
I just...
Yeah, no, Hamter and I are on the same wavelength. I don't know which wavelength Flair was on. Probably both.
If I know.
Holy shit, y'all. Wow, y'all. All right, well, I'm blushing, and that's... what the fuck? Leave it to Hamter to get me to blush. That's saying something. Wow.
I love that I'm the ace here. Like, and I'm like... So the fingers, two inserted into the vagina, which is like trying to be very. And my uterus diagram and my vagina, like.
Yes, exactly. In a bubble of
pie. Yeah. You put the Dean Douglas cap on and you walk up to the chalkboard, like.
Now
you go here and two go here.
If it's medical, it doesn't count. That's why.
Patient. There you go. Like, oh God. That's amazing. Yeah. No,
if you will.
If you will, baby. Oh no, Dusty's involved now.
Yeah, oh God. 1 second. I'm gonna do the thing where I hop back in and out.
Uh oh.
Yeah, we can't get on the Dusty train, or we'll be
no. We'll never get off.
If we get on the Dusty train and my audio's fucked up, I'm just gonna be sad. But yes,
it was so funny. I think you were going to say the same thing, Garrett, but I couldn't pay attention to the match. Everything
else just kept going. They just kept
so
going.
Good. It was so. And it's funny because I watched this first and then Raw, and I was like, wow. Oh.
Yeah, I watched it the other way around and
was like,
God, I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah.
Wow, I love this as opposed to the Raw one where I was just like, no.
I'm still recovering from y'all having dirtier thoughts than me. I'm just Eric's saying don't go there, and I'm like, we're fucking live, pal. Like, you're going there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, sure. Yeah, I agree. They're both awful for different reasons. But yeah, holy shit.
I just summed up that just Rick's entire time on commentary with one line that I wrote here. It was just Jesus Christ, Rick.
Yeah.
Like he was on one.
Yeah, he knew that he was live and there was very little they could do about it.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's gotta be it. Which is very interesting to me because the end of this, I won't go too far down. It just completely skids out and ends in a wet fart. in my humble opinion.
In your humble opinion, yes. Well, I mean, well, it's getting there. But I think also part of it though is so I think that he's trying to pop his friend. So like, you know, like that's he's pushing it harder because he's trying to I love he calls him Robert too. But like, yeah, I know he's like, no, I'm trying to pop Bobby. Like it's good.
You know
though.
What? This whole entire match is like a tale of two sets of best friends.
Yeah, you're so
you have Lex
right.
Luger and Sting, and then you have Bobby and Rick.
It really is. There's a lot of that going on. I don't know how Meng and Barbarian feel about each other, but they seem pretty close.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, and Meng and Barbarian are there.
And Meng and Barbarian are there, yes.
Well, they're not brothers. That was the Snyderns.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think they're brothers. No, I think they're historical roommates. No, that's not. That's Sting and Lex.
We're both freaks of nature.
Yes, freaks of nature.
Why was Meng so bad? Like, that was wild.
Wait, why was Meng what?
So wet.
So wet? I don't know. Yeah. They were both very wet. Yeah.
They just do that. They just get real oiled up before they go out.
Yeah, okay. Which feels like the worst thing to do if you're trying to like lift heavy people up real high.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that. It's kind of wild. But this is a good match. Lots of back and forth. Stinger hits a huge splash. Lex rolls in as the legal man for the pin.
Yeah, that was great.
It was retained through good old fashioned like tag team wrestling. There was no just best friends being guys, you know. They didn't have to do the whole is Lex thing for every single match.
Oh my god!
Like they did the night before.
God. Macho Man is here and he's being held outside the building.
I love the thought of Macho Man is like going around town, like asking questions, trying to like get to the arena to figure things out like all day before the show, and he just looks like that the entire time.
Yes, that's just normal.
He's walking down the street in this like black and white cowboy hat with these like leg warmer looking tassels around his ankles, like, can you point me towards the convention center, please? Yeah.
There's like pink and green accents. You know, he's got a lot going on. It's a busy outfit. Rick is nervous, as he should be. They go to Mean Gene. Macho's facing down a line of pigs who are keeping him out.
Which is hysterical.
And he's like mumble pacing. But he threatens him again.
He's Popeye.
Yeah. good stuff. Gene says the suits are threatening him with fines too. Oh, and not good. And he basically lets some of them know what. Like, he's just so surprised. Lots of suits and ties. Yeah.
We decided my best interest.
They better make the right decision. I'm like, what is the right decision?
You
gotta lay out what you want, babes.
None of it's good. So he threatens them again. It's not as actionable as a couple weeks back. But it's still pretty good stuff. A couple weeks back, he's like, I'm gonna find you, I'm gonna kill you. And it was like, dude,
more.
We're live. It ends with him. My favorite, though, is the end, though, is he tries to trick the cops. He does like a look the other way. He's like, I got one thing to say, and then he rushes.
That was really good.
Macho Man says, ab cab.
Yeah.
I will say that this is, they were actually filming inside the building. Like, you can see as if they pull back, which I feel is like very peak shitty TV and show and movie making, which I just love. That's really clear that they're on the inside of the building and it's just some steel door. Like,
They probably did have the light outside, you know?
Yeah, you absolutely didn't. It would have been dark. Like, but yeah, he pulls back and you can see chairs and shit stacked up next to the, like.
They tried.
Obviously. Yeah. Like, I ain't mad at it.
Yeah. No, good catch. I ain't mad at it. I'm kind of impressed. Shit. Rick finds this all delightful, which is great. We come back and the entirety of my notes for this part is just. Let's see here. DDP self high fives, as is his right. He squashes Brad Armstrong, as is his right. He gets screwed out of his title by a dusty finish, as is his right.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
He is so close to the DDP that we will come to know and love. Like, all the pieces were there in that segment. Like, he did the hand sign, he's saying the bang, he's doing the self high five, he's got this weird like hand wiggle, that one didn't stick around, but that's for the best. He's like 2 weeks away from like putting it all together and becoming DDP.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think he needed to go through this. This is just his his trial by fire.
It really is. It's him getting traded to someone else in order to evolve from the one Pokemon to the other. What was it? Abracadabra to Alakazam.
Yes.
He had to do the person to person trade, or we go and get.
Yeah, and he had to hold the Dynamite Diamond Ring to. This all makes sense now.
Oh, there you go, and that's how you finally get to your final form DDP. I'm proud of him. He's
big shout out. Oh god, shout out to him being shut up, you jerks. Everybody behind him is bowing, and I was like, good. More good of that,
stuff, right? Meanwhile, though, during this weird little match, commentary is mostly just Rick and Bobby making fun or having fun and making Eric nervous. It's more of the same.
Yeah. I do like how they were talking about Nitro going to 2 hours and how Rick is like, if they want me out here for 2 hours, they better put another zero on my paycheck.
Yeah.
And I'm there and I'm like, yeah, they probably did. No one WCW.
Yeah, I had that exact thought, my bro. It's like he said that, and Turner's like, wait, do we really have to do that? Go ahead. You know?
Without even a second thought.
Nope. Both him and Arn.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, Arn, sure, why not? That guy, I like him. He's fighting the giant, yeah.
Oh my god. Fighting the giant is a very... fighting is doing a lot of work, in my opinion. Like, giant fucking pushed his shit in.
Okay, Before we get to the match, Hunter, as we've established, you and I had some dirty thoughts earlier in the show. Did you have some interesting thoughts when the giant was coming down to the ring?
Good lord. No.
That was his bulge was huge.
I had that vague passing thought about Arn Anderson's red clag.
Oh.
I was like, damn. He's got some balls.
The giant's coming down. He's got the belt, and I'm sitting there. I had to rewind it, and like my wife is in the kitchen taking care of something, and she just hears me holler from the living room, "Hey, honey, come in here and check out this guy's pecker." And I was like, she walked in. She was like, "My goodness."
Okay, I am turning on the TV right now. I'm going to go to the Peacock app, and when we're done here, I'm gonna watch.
We need a Hamster and Derek, you as well. A live reaction of the Giant's bulge in this match because holy crap.
This cannot happen.
At this point, it's probably gonna be the fucking episode image. I mean shit.
Also, I felt that when the Giant's going in for a choke slam of Arn Anderson, he was just holding him very tenderly and very like close. Wow.
Well, the way it came about, it was actually really great. Cause like, this is the, it's another one of those ones where it's like, I feel like I should love this match, but it was just fine.
Yeah.
But only because it's great, but it's the same story again. Yeah, it's just giant Fee-Fi-Fo-Fums the Enforcer, which is cool, but like it was great when he did it with Rick. It was okay when he did it with the next guy. Like, and now it's like, okay,
it's like, oh,
okay.
The giant makes this grown man look like a baby boy again.
And the biggest problem for me too is that we know that Paul White can have better matches because he was doing them. It's like they put the belt on him and they said, now you have to be giant and that's all.
Yeah, squash match Jones over here.
Yeah, squash match Jones over here. All right. No good. But to finish, I love the finish specifically to get back to Arn gets him down to one knee, and I love this, so that he's low enough for him to DDT him.
Oh my god, yes.
That's what made me giggle so much. He had to chop him down, and then he calls to him, DDT, and they're like, fuck it. He's like, I'm gonna do it.
And the giant just stands up.
Grabs
him by the throat, holds him tenderly, and then gently drops him to the ground.
Tenderly.
What Arn Anderson had to have fallen at least like 9-10 feet when being thrown by the fucking giant. The giant's 7 foot.
He'd be tall. Yeah. No, that's a big old drop for a dude who's not, doesn't have much long left.
No.
Oof. Yeah, he is the dad of the cul-de-sac. Like,
you really,
he really, oh yeah, he does have like 2 years at this point, doesn't he?
Before,
oh, really?
Before
that. No spoilers, but
yeah, no spoilers. Yeah, he's still alive and pulling guns on Cody Rhodes. It's fine. But we ended with that choke slam. He's grinding his shop teacher's bones to make his bread. We end with Flair. He's taking off with his collective of wives and Bobby being Bobby.
Well, hold on, real quick. But wait, there's more, because throughout this entire fucking match, Flair's just like, oh, doing the biggest coup in the history of WCW Nitro. Just wait, Arn Anderson's gonna come on up. Hold it, wait for it. He's coming. Like, you just wait till you see it, and like, nothing happens. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's
oh,
like, didn't catch that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Flair's like, oh, we got it under control. Cause Arn comes out and Taskmaster comes out with him.
Yes.
And Taskmaster like talks to the giant like right there beforehand.
Oh,
and
talks
got a huge penis. Yes.
Yeah.
You are correct, Piper.
Yes.
It's frozen on my screen 100%. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Nice spot.
Just. Oh, I thought he had a softball in there. Like,
Hamster, can you drop that in the chat?
It's gonna be gonna be very boomer. Okay.
Can you do it? Okay, yeah. Thank you there. I'm gonna need to see that sausage here.
You got it. You got it now.
No, we have
sure thing, boss.
Sure thing, boss. Real sexy, like just like
just like you want it.
Good thing they didn't put that on the WCW magazine.
Fucking A.
Yeah, but he's talking all this mad shit.
Yeah, he was. The whole time, he's like, you think I wouldn't be up here if I didn't have everything under control? I'd be down there with Arn. And then Arn gets squashed, 1-2-3. And the fucking show ends.
Absolutely. Hilarious.
Jesus Christ.
Told you.
You fucking kidding?
No, it's right.
I told you it was monstrous.
It's like cripes.
Ew.
Yeah. So, like, that's my big takeaway from Nitro this week was the giant. Yeah,
honestly, that is. Yeah, the match lasts for 3 minutes, and Jin Rick assures us through every single minute that there's going to be this fucking coup, and nothing.
Yeah,
happens.
And it's nothing.
Nothing happens.
And he leaves. We cut back to the announcer's booth. He's already fucking gone, and Bobby's standing up. Like, the candles are out.
Steals the candelabra.
Yeah.
Steals one bottle of champagne. Loads up on fake fruit.
Yeah, I know. He bought pockets of banana. Yeah,
steals second bottle of champagne.
Yeah. Because he breaks the glass too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is a shit show. Yeah. Woof. Bobby was so excited.
I was too busy realizing at the end of the show that Eric Bischoff looked like he was ready to teach Sunday school.
He buttoned the denim vest. A bold choice. Bold.
Yeah, and then he makes a basketball joke to the crowd, like, you ready for some hoops? And it's like,
you got hoops.
No, dude, you have never hooped a hoop in your life, and I say that as someone who has never hooped a hoop in her life. So, like, takes one to no one.
Yeah.
And that's Nitro. How hard could it possibly be to find her? I mean, how many people in this city could even have her condition? Yeah, I don't know how it happened either. It never would have occurred to me that Michael Hayes was so racist it would manifest in the clone this way. She was perfect otherwise. Perfect! Yes, keep me posted. Still nothing, Dr. G? No, she's in the wind. Who knows if she's even telling people to go to patreon.com/mnffpod for bonus content, like pay-per-view watch parties, or even Garrick's Mid.store for show merch.
Well, is she telling them to listen to the other shows we work with, like The Most Important Election of Our Lives, where real-world politics meet fictional fandoms for their voting pleasure?
Who knows, Dr. Rack? Who knows? At least the folks are liking, subscribing, and sharing the pod.
The giant in his massive package is still on my TV screen. I'm never turning off the TV. This is my Peacock account character now. Sorry.
You're gonna have burn-in on your TV.
Yeah, I know. It's just
the giant's hog.
I posted on Facebook Market, Frida Good Home.
It's just WCW Hog Wild, and it's just that screenshot.
Oh God, actually.
Oh no! I'm gonna have so much fun editing this thing. Holy shit!
You missed something.
So that was Nitro. Fuck.
Yep. And it only gets worse.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
So, because now it's Raw, and holy shit! We're talking about out of pocket.
The first line of my notes for the May 20th, 1996 Raw is a sentiment I think the both of you will also share, and that I just wrote, shut up, Lawler.
Yes! You were so brave. Oh my god. The best moment in all of fucking Raw is when Shawn Michaels tells Jimmy Lawler to shut up, and he does.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Holy shit. Incredible.
You can just do that? Like, fuck.
And he'll do it? Wow. Oh, inspired.
Vince should use his power more. I wonder why he doesn't. Oh.
No.
Yeah.
But first we open with some looks at a Madison Square Garden house show at the night before this. And folks, I could care less what they tried to tell me about this show, because what I know to be true. Hampton, that's right. Hampton's a noob. Hampton doesn't know about the curtain call.
Was that at that show?
That was May 19th.
Oh, you're right.
At Madison Square Garden, because
it
something
sure was.
Oh, okay. So you also cut out briefly next when you week. Were talking.
Oh, what?
Oh, you also cut out when you were describing it for me. So.
Oh, okay. So. Good to know. No, I hadn't quite gotten there, but I forgot Hampter didn't know this stuff. So, yes. Yes.
A little history lesson.
We must. This is why it is the year of Punished Paul. this is the justification that is going to be used. So, like, and spoilers, everyone pay attention and probably want to watch, listen next week, because it's historic 1996 at Madison Square Garden house show. There's various matches going on, but this is the first. This is a thing happens that hadn't happened like this before, and like we all know that, like everyone knows it's fake, but they play along. Like that's the point, you know. They're in on it. So, but still, no one they were still real hardcore about like not like breaking character in front of a crowd and like
and in 1996 like that sentiment was like kind of less so, like not so many people knew it was fake, and you know, the suspension of disbelief, there was still a lot more of no, that's real.
Yeah, because they were kids. Yeah, like you look at the crowd and they're all like a vast majority are children, and it's awesome. Yeah.
So that's the point, though, is that it was different, but yeah, there was still more kids. So you don't have the heels and the faces being buddy-buddy, especially after they went. So I forget who was fighting who, but at this point, it became clear that Razor Ramon and Diesel were leaving the company.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go to WCW, but they knew they were leaving. And that we've always talked about the click, right? Well, the click was Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Waltman, I guess, Scott Hall, and
three Kevin. Kid.
Yeah, 1-2-3 Kid. Sorry. Yeah, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, Razor and Diesel. So at the end of this show, this house show at Madison Square Garden, the clique all comes out. And even though it's baby faces and heels and like the champion of the company, and they just got done, him and Diesel just got done having this arc where they're like bitter enemies and shit. The clique all comes out and gets together in the ring and does like takes a bow together and hugs and like, yeah, it's and because they know that their friends are leaving and they're like up there who were like they're doing it for them too, to be like, hey, we know what's going on, you know what's going on, you probably know they're leaving.
Yeah.
Bye to our everyone will tell different versions of this. Some people say that they got Vince's permission. I highly doubt that. Know what Vince had to say about it. But long story short, the everyone gets pissed. Like they get super mad.
Yeah.
But here's the thing though, is this is the rub of it. They're super mad at the clique for doing this thing. We have to, two of them are leaving already. One of them was on his way out the door. 1-2-3 Kid is on his way out the door. So that leaves our world champion,
Punished Paul,
and Punished Paul.
Okay.
Well, we can't punish our world champion. Paul, get over here. Because of this, at a certain point in this week's Raw, they talk about the King of the Ring tournament. Triple H is supposed to win that, and because of this, he doesn't. Because he's getting punished for the curtain call, and instead
Austin cuts the 316 promo,
and everything. I literally have goosebumps.
Everything
changes because of what happened the night before this Raw.
Fucking hell! Yeah,
like it's the beginning.
When you put it that way,
like everything fucking changes because of what happened at that Madison Square Garden show that they just showed us a little bit of.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the curtain call, Hamter. And anyone who wasn't aware, but I'm guessing if you listen to the show, you probably know. but yeah, so holy fuck, we are entering into that territory. In ring though, we get Mark Merrill versus said Stone Cold Steven.
Yes.
by all means, this match has banger qualities. It is clear though that already like everything is being made about Sable and poor Mark. He's like doing kitty faces in the background while she's like posing and like.
Oh God! Yeah.
It's so they're
like looking so unenthused, like. Doing like the claws and has like the whip and stuff, but like really looks like she could not care less.
She did not want this job at all. She got that job because she showed up with her husband, and Vince was like, "I want that," and like he didn't care about Mark. He wanted to have Sable on, basically, and like so is and that becomes basically the story of Mark Merrow's like 2 years of the company, and it's unfortunate because we. That's our Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah, I like. He was looking good tonight. I love the outfit and the crazy like hair. Sable and Elizabeth could both get it tonight. I was like, damn.
Sable has a straight up flogger. Like a fucking flogger. I was like, all right, what's subtext?
Yeah,
I gotta remember this is an audio medium because I'm just sitting here nodding and agreeing. Like,
I felt it. Yeah. No.
So very quickly, my second sentence of my raw notes are: "Shut up, Lawler. Jesus, you're the worst." So yes, yes. Piper.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Somehow manages to get worse in 40 something minutes.
Yeah, yeah, well, God, and it says something. And again, this match itself, I can't believe I'm saying this. Fine, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was cool to see, like, Steve Austin running the ropes because you don't really see that in, like, a year past this time. Because
like, he can't? Yeah.
He can't because his knees are fucking jello. so, like, getting to see that now was cool. Like, Yeah, he could go. Yeah.
Just the flying scissor to the head was just incredible. Like, I liked watching them. It was unfortunate that, like, Lawler was talking and Vince were talking through all of it, and he was like talking about Shawn Michaels showing up and at the commentary table.
Yeah, I wrote that down too, that like they talked about everything but the match that was going on. Like, yeah. I understand you've got a pay-per-view that you need to plug and what's going on in the rest of the show, but like they did that in Nitro as well on like a throwaway match or two, but still got back to what was going on. Like, you should be able to, like, not pay attention and just listen and still get the gist of what's happening in the match.
Yeah,
but
they weren't getting
you
that at all.
Could not do that with this broadcast, because they're constantly talking about Shawn and Sable and Sonny. And
they
people
don't
have nothing to do with what's going on the TV.
I hate to say it, but I think I figured it out. And it's funny that it took this long, because I'm sitting here going, why are they doing this to him, how bad it is too, because this is why JR, because like Jim Ross, neither of these chuckle fucks is capable of being a play-by-play guy. That's they're two color guys.
Yeah,
and you need a play-by-play guy.
Vince was never a play-by-play.
Yeah,
no,
he could never keep up with it. But
no, he couldn't, because he doesn't know what any of the fucking moves are.
Exactly.
Rikishi keeps doing a diamond cutter, and he keeps calling it a bulldog instead of a cutter, and I'm like, he's trying to sip the other guy's juice. I think you like that, you know, but you keep calling it a bulldog because you're a jackass and I hate you.
No, I had very similar thoughts about like Jim Ross, like needing to be there to be the glue to hold like the whole broadcast together.
It's really starting to make itself relevant. And especially because, King's fucking on one. He tells us about a bombshell he's going to drop.
Oh my God.
Sean, and we'll get to that. I'm already not looking forward to it.
I wrote down, unless it's the bombshell is him feeding himself feast first into a wood chipper, I don't give a fuck. It's just like, I hate you. I hate whatever the fuck you're going to talk about.
Now I have this wonderful little image in my brain of Jerry the King Lawler just be like, and jumping into a fucking wood chipper feed first. That's great.
Yeah, he just hit the wood chipper and just...
God,
meanwhile, Vince is like, I see. Like, all right, back to the match. Wow, but,
unbelievable.
Unquestionably disgusting. Yeah. But at one point, though, it happens again where Merrill gets Steven in a sleeper and he gets out of it by sitting out into a jawbreaker, and I squirm in my seat because it's almost a stunner.
Yes.
He's so close.
He's so close. Like, you're like an inch away.
It was just like DDP previously. The pieces are all there. They just got to align into this.
They have to line up, and his cartilage needs to disintegrate. And then you. Yeah, and you put that together and he's Stone Cold, baby.
once Steve Austin is in retrograde, then you will get Stone Cold.
Yes, exactly.
So this is once again a little bit like, not unlike the DDP transformation that we're seeing.
Yes.
This is not like his final form.
Yeah, DDP, like, he's got the diamond cutter. He's like got all the motions. He's just got to put it together. Like, Steve Austin has the mannerisms, he's got like the attitude, he doesn't quite have the stunner yet and just the Texas Rattlesnake persona, but like Garrick said, it's
and
coming
still technical. And they're still trying to make him a Dean Malenko knockoff. That's what they want, the ringmaster. And as soon as they let go of that and they let him just be an ass kicker, which basically happens at King of the Ring, because he says a swear. And it goes over so hard that they're like, I guess we say ass now.
Yeah, I guess we just let this guy from Texas be a guy from Texas.
Yeah, and then he drinks beer.
$1 billion.
Incredible.
And they're a publicly traded company because this guy drinks beers and kicks his boss's ass and says it's shit and stuff. It's great. So we're almost there. We're almost there. But in the meantime, Lawler's got to be racist. So not even present, Savio Vega. He says to Savio, who's not even there yet, that Steven is going to beat him like a pinata. I briefly wondered to myself, does he realize that Puerto Rico isn't Mexico? Yes, he does, but you don't need to think about it. Almost like a Puerto Rican Joe Hendry. Do a racism at him and he appears. I believe in Savio Vega. Savio runs in and gets Steven. He gets Steven the victory. Yes.
So I have a quick question, and I know it doesn't like actually fucking matter, but why does Stone Cold win?
Because somebody came and attacked him. It is seen as to benefit the opponent, ergo that opponent loses and the person attacked wins.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah.
It's a case of impact is more important than intent.
Okay.
In the sense that, like, even though he was attacking him just because fuck that guy.
If he wanted to hurt Stone Cold physically, if he wanted to hurt Stone Cold mentally, he would go and attack Mark Mero.
Yes. Okay.
Because he would have cost him the match, and Steve Austin would have been sad about it.
Exactly. Oh, that was such a good breakdown. Thank you so much, Piper.
Yeah, you're good welcome. At this. You're good at this, Piper. Yeah, fuck yeah. But yes, the crowd loves all of this.
Yeah.
Spits and sputters racistly, and we cut to a commercial, and then Ahmed winning big in Kuwait footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out of fucking nowhere. Talking about how, like, Kuwait and they're being invaded, and I'm like, sorry, we were wrestling 17 seconds ago.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then I remembered it's WWF, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they did do this and still do this, huh?
This is them, like, starting to, like, really ramp it up. This and a 9/11 later, and all of a sudden John Cena isn't a rapper anymore, he's a Marine. We're starting down that road.
The fade open is a tank, and I'm like, I'm viscerally taken out of the moment that I was just in. I was sorry, fucking what?
That's I couldn't remember what my notes were, and then I read the next note and was like, oh yeah, because that line that I wrote down was just, what the fuck?
Yeah. Because it then, not only does it, like, go into that, but then it ends with Warrior the comic with Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, God.
And people are, like, they're showing, like, pages of the book, and they're, like, cutting to the Warrior with fans, which is why I brought up the baby thing, because he's holding
talking about his
personal philosophy,
destrucity.
Yes.
I looked a little bit into this earlier, because I was like, I need to know some shit about this.
This is the second time that we've been subjected to Warrior letting us know about this kind of program he has going on. Yeah. So this time with comic book form.
There's a TV tropes page for the Warrior comic book. And oh baby, it's juicy. So Destrucity is down here under the trope word salad philosophy. And it states comic book was essentially a long promotional tract for his philosophical ideas. Destrucity is the quote truce between one's destiny and one's reality, unquote. And that's about it in terms of this philosophy making any sense.
That's it. No. And he rides that into a self-help like career. Like,
yes. And I do have one more passage from this, this page. Just the blurb here at the top. I will send this page whether either of you want to look at it, because it's a treat. But it states that Warrior is a short-lived comic book by Team Warrior, conceived and written by WWE wrestler Ultimate Warrior, with Jonathan D. Smith, James Callahan, and the Sharp Boys on the art department. It depicts the adventures of the Warrior, his quest to master the philosophy of destrucity, and journey through the terrain of Testament to set right what was wronged. On the surface, it sounds like a simple story, but deep down, it is a horribly mangled combination of Michael Moorcock-inspired fantasy, Sun Tzu-styled ramblings, and bad artwork a la Rob Liefeld, with a convoluted plot that makes the ending of Neon Genesis Evangelion look simple in comparison.
All of that sounds horrible. Like, what? What? I can't even make words.
It really does.
I can't. He's like, broken my brain. And meanwhile, I'm like watching this screaming at my screen as people are handing this man babies. And it's like watching a horror movie. Like,
no.
Do not hand a child to the warrior. He was going to unhinge his jaw and swallow it whole for the growth hormone. Don't do it.
Yes, he needs the adrenochrome to live.
Oh, God.
His sweet, sweet pineal gland juice. sacrifice. It's just like, all that sounds like is like a cocaine bender that nobody was talented enough to actually turn into gold. Like, you edit sober. You edit sober, guys. Yeah.
Hamter, you just described the ultimate warrior.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, exactly.
All that to say,
who can work? Yeah, when Terry can wrestle, when you really get him in a corner or send him to Japan, he can actually wrestle. Yeah, so unlike Warrior, who just can't. So
all that to say that I will be looking at the back issue long boxes at my local comic stores to see if I can find any issues of this, because I got to know what the fuck is going on in there.
That would be great. Yeah. I'm also good at look for issues of things.
Indeed. And we come back from those horrors. Savio preparing to kick 1, 2, 3 young adult's ass.
Young adult.
I can't.
He's... Go ahead.
Well, he's got the he's beginning the goatee, so he's transitioning to a, you know, he's not a boy, he's not yet a man, so you know,
he's in his middle school phase, just like Sting.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like all more transitional characters.
Really? Yeah, focus on the match though, because Teddy Deeves and Lawler. Oh God.
Oh my God.
They spend the whole match just being.
Just
racist as fuck.
Horrifyingly racist. Like, terrifyingly so.
Just the worst of humanity given live mics, and it's just
The thing is, this isn't a live show.
Oh, right.
Still recorded. So Vince is there trying to be like, oh, that's enough of that. Let's not go there. And it's like,
enough of that.
If you really cared, you would have edited this out and just
talked
over it.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of reading Mein Kampf, but he's shaking his head, so everyone knows he disagrees. It's the same thing. Like, and that's all he does. But it comes down to it, this is Vince Russo and Vince McMahon doing that kind of shit. And I hate this. The match again, fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Savio's great. Sean Waltman is there. You know, it's fine.
Some neat little pin move to finish the match, and then Savio Vega's theme comes on with the little boo, and I love it every time.
Yeah.
Well, he does he ends it with it's like a seatbelt combo, but instead of rolling into it, he hooks it standing up and drives Waltman's dome and shoulders into the mat. That fucking ruled. Like that looks like a finisher. Like that was sick. But you know, that happens and Stone Cold Steven returns the favor. And he's like, I gotta get out of here. It's like, fuck yeah, dude, get out of here, go.
1, 2, 3 kid almost took Savio's fucking head off with
he came up behind him and holy fuck.
Gnarly.
That was either worked really well or he got all of that one. Then after this, we get more of, oh God, they're relying heavily on this show that happened last night, which I think is funny given what we talked about of it. Vince shows us some footage from Last Phineas, and they find him, we can only assume, hooking up with Sonny, and he gets yelled at.
I wrote in my notes, what do you think they're doing in that locker room?
I don't know. I hope they're playing cards.
God,
sure enough, though, it looks like Sonny's going to cost the Godwins the match. That's what's going on here. But instead, Phineas kisses her and then murders her boyfriend for the champion.
You know.
Like you do.
We love that. It's a great great line.
They have the most MIDI banjo ass theme song afterwards.
It's so weird. I think this might be the point where they're not allowed to use "Thank God I'm a Country Boy" anymore, even at the time. and that might have been and I think once that happens, that's like the beginning and the end of the Godwins, because it's like, it's all about the country song. Like everyone loved the song, and it made money on the wrestling, the album, remember? Like in the 80s, it was great. It made money, so we gotta do it. Vince tells us that Sonny had kissed the tag team championships goodbye. And this might be the start of the haha, aren't women such opportunistic sluts, Sonny arc. She becomes the valet for whomstever has the tag team belts. That's like her gimmick. Basically for the rest of her time with the company. That's her gimmick. Yeah.
I mean, that's a little interesting.
Yeah, to say the
least. Especially for a tag team. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's very Vince Russo. Yeah. Is what that is.
I was like, what the Sonny doing? That's what the Sonny doing. Yeah,
that's what the Sonny doing. As much as I hate that, I love this next bit though. First of all, JR, lovely.
Yes.
Weird as fuck.
Oh my gosh. Why? This must be the first time I've heard him speak, and it was a fucking delight.
Also doing Paul Bearer impressions?
Oh, like the whole time watching this? Yes.
Oh, yes. Did either of you get a text from a partner in the house that said, "Why it sound like Mickey Mouse is cheering for the Undertaker because of your Paul Bearer impressions?"
Yeah, I did not.
I did.
That's amazing.
Your wife is fucking incredible.
Yeah. And then a few messages later, she says, "Can I please get a big, one big meaty man slapping meat, please, done as Paul Bearer," which I had to deliver.
What do we do to get that reaction?
You just have to ask. Well, you said please, so you know. Oh yes, big meaty man slapping meat. Oh, Undertaker!
It's everything I hoped for.
It's so fun.
The Undertaker squeal.
Oh, I rest in peace, Paul Bearer.
Oh my god, just incredible worker.
Yep. No, he's the pinnacle of weird little guy. JR though says that he wants to talk to Taker, and Paul's like, Paul says like
right now. You want to talk to my Undertaker? Because that's his Undertaker, and they wanted to make sure you didn't forget it.
Oh, it's his. Taker's in the casket. Of course he is. This was so good because he starts talking shit, right?
Yes.
Laying in the casket, and the best thing happens.
Oh my god.
Mankind shuts the lid on him.
Meanwhile, Goldust scares Paul Bearer away with his sexuality.
Goldust is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there being gay at Paul, which backs him up, and that's really great. Mankind throws together a quick shibari on the closed casket, sealing the Nazi lich in.
That was not the time to take a drink of water. We're talking about Mankind casket shibari. What the hell? Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I got striked again. And he proceeds to squeal whilst beating the fuck out of that casket. It's so good.
It's such a silly segment.
What if
it's so good though?
If Undertaker would have died, what kind of timeline would we have? Like
a better one,
right?
A better one.
Yeah.
What if they just never got him out of the casket?
Yeah. Foley's like, "I'm sorry, it was a real good knock. I didn't mean to. I just did it." I just wrote in my notes, best Raw segment so far.
Yeah. I wrote of Paul. Mankind, he is all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He understood what needs doing. Mm-hmm. That the only good Nazi is a Nazi that has been tied inside a casket and beaten with a steel fucking bar.
Absolutely.
More of that.
Please.
And I was just like, dude, my two childhood idols representing both my mental illness and my gender fuckery literally jumping a literal Nazi. Like, this was made for me.
Yeah.
This is my hole. Like...
Eric reaching into the TV screen.
Yeah, yes, you see it, me. I am the TV glowing. After the breakthrough,
God. I wrote, because we haven't suffered enough, I hear British Bulldog music.
Oh, yeah. It's our main event.
Yeah.
Which means it has to be about Sean, which means that the subject of his cuckoldry must be here. That's just how we can say it now. Cuckoldry.
This was all weird.
So fucking weird.
It doesn't stop being weird.
Like,
yeah, our main event is Shawn Michaels on commentary getting called a womanizer and sex pest by a womanizer and sex pest.
Yeah.
While a third sex pest pretends to be startled.
Yeah.
Also, the Bulldog is fighting Jake the Snake, too, I guess. That's cool.
Yeah,
down in my notes, Lawler ellipses, standing up for women? Question mark?
My note, Lawler believes women. I roll emoji. I think it speaks to just how much Lawler hates Sean that he attempts to come over his behavior with women. I have to imagine is wild coming from her.
I mean, as I was writing my notes for this, I had like epiphanies about what I was watching because I was trying to unpack all of what y'all just said, basically. But like, it's a weekly look into the attempted cuckoldry of the British Bulldog by HBK.
Yeah.
But all this is the way everything is worded, they're just doing rape culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's ignoring the woman that was theoretically accosted, never once calls that what it is, insisting instead that it's automatically wanted and consensual, even when she has said that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
They just like ignore, they don't talk about it as though she's ever said that.
She has to leave the arena. Sorry, but they have I know this is whatever, but they have a restraining order against Shawn Michaels.
Restraining order.
The restraining order.
And Cornette gets a restraining order, so she has to leave.
Yes. Yeah, because Gorilla Monsoon
decided, because obviously the woman is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, not the champion who assaulted her, if we're to believe this story. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So no, it's really like you're saying, Hampter. It's Lawler, and you too, Erica. Lawler standing for women, Hi. Wait, what did I say?
This is the other Erica. Child. Yeah, you called her.
Did I do it again? Oh my fucking god!
We're live, pal.
We are fucking live, pal. Oh my fucking god, I did it again.
Shout out to Erica. Shame they couldn't be here for this episode as well, because boy howdy, it would have been a fatal four-way.
Oh my god, it would be.
Yeah, shout out to Erica, whose avatar is like on my list of fucking DM messages off to the side here, and that's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm. I see what it is.
Happened, but well, because I have a history of doing this, which makes it so much worse. God damn it.
It's okay, I am not offended in the slightest. It's a fantastic person to be confused for.
Yeah, but only your names. Not your personalities, not what you look like.
Yeah.
And none of that. Literally just the names I have a bit, but brain has the poke. God, it's terrible. But it's like all of these things, because yes, Cornette has like a restraining order, and it's all of these things happening in a way that, like, I don't know, like, how did I put it, like, Lawler and Cornette are trying to cancel Sean for taking Bulldog's property.
Yeah,
it's just gross.
This is gross.
Yeah, the whole like back like 15 minutes is just like, yeah, it's a different time, but at the same time, 30 years ago wasn't that long ago, and this was just not just commonplace, but promoted in like put on a pedestal, if you will, of this is what you do.
And this
Basically.
And this is also like directly the youth here in this scene and on that day absorbed it multiple times, or in are now adults in the present day, theoretically. Like, what are you, 46, maybe, whatever? Like
Vince's kids. Exactly. As Josie would say, Vince's children, and both Vince's, because this is Russo too. Let's not forget. It's Russo wanted to do like a Jerry Springer storyline.
Right.
And Shawn Michaels, that's all. Yeah, that's where it came from.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels is like, you've been watching too much daytime TV, too much Sally Jesse.
He name dropped Geraldo Rivera on Monday Night Raw.
Sally Jesse Raphael.
No one wants to do that. Leave Ricky Lake's name out of your fucking mouth, dude. Like, I love Ricky Lake. But you're talking, these are all my shows when I'm sick from school, damn it. These are my, they're my friends. But for Russo, they were content that he could mine to write shows with. Sometimes literally, like, there's stories about him like writing the show with like Springer on in the background, like to that extent. And it's just all this, but what ends up being used for ultimately is Vince McMahon and Lawler to an extent get this opportunity to Darvo every woman, that being like they're doing like the Believe Women thing, but twisted in the most awful fucking way, and like making it sound like you can't, because like the thing is like you like hounding him, because like if he's lying or if he's telling the truth, then that means she was just gross. Lawler accuses him of having an affair with Pam Anderson, which press X to doubt. No.
And all of it was in the National Enquirer.
Yeah, he explicitly mentions that as his source.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the 90s if they didn't bring up Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Right. Oh, God. I wish that I could, like, have any way to end this discussion of Raw better. There's a match going on, but the match doesn't even finish. Because they're going on and on about all this. And again, this isn't live. They chose to edit it this way for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's not live, like, where Ric Flair is mentioning Debbie Does Dallas live on TV. Like,
yeah.
This was
purposeful.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
But both of you messaged me, like, was that the little credits come up at the bottom? And Vince is like, we gotta go. Like, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
And
I didn't even notice. Like, off. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, like, throws water on Sean. Yep. Sean, like, stares her down. Bulldog does an axe handle off the apron, and it cuts.
And that's it.
And that's it. I had to go and look up, like, a decade-old write-up of the show to make sure that I didn't find the episode I watched on Peacock wasn't, like, messed up or something.
Yeah. I saw...
Sorry.
Yeah, the Netflix... Absolutely. I thought
I saw Shawn Michaels going in to hit Jim Cornette. He's like, I wouldn't hit a woman.
Oh, he did do that. He did. He did nail Cornette. Did happen.
Good.
Which is also Cornette. Fine because again,
Cornette. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody should get to hit Cornette at least once.
Yeah. It should be a national pastime.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah, say not even wrestlers.
Yeah,
gets his licks. Good. The rest of this segment, bad.
Very bad.
And don't hurt the snake. That's all. That's the one thing I took away from the fucking match.
Leave Damien alone. Yeah, what the hell?
I just wonder if they, just went a little too far, like, in furthering that match, like, with the discussion and stuff, that, like, they felt they had to cut it, or it was just a weird editing decision. Because, like, it really was so jarring.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I don't know. I like to think that they're all thrown off their game because of the curtain call. I'm wanting I'm wanting to believe that Vince is like, because I mean, I think they, I don't think the 83 weeks has started yet, but like that's coming, and it's coming very soon.
Yeah.
Like spoilers, like next week, like
yeah,
like the NWO is
yeah, like it's
coming in. Oh yeah, yeah. The spoilers, folks. NWO begins shortly.
We're here.
We're here.
Oh, okay. We so it's here. That's their run. The 83 weeks is their run.
Nitro's run of winning the ratings battle
over.
I forget. Over Raw. They had 83 weeks where Eric Bischoff has not let that go. It's literally the name of his podcast after his 83 weeks. He will ride that success into his grave.
It was 25, 30 years ago, and he's still holding on to it.
Yeah, but for 83 weeks, he beat Vince McMahon.
Listen, I don't blame him.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess. It's an accomplishment when he really did. He slayed the giant with his own giant, who has his own giant, we now know.
Penis joke.
That episode titled Giant's Giant. My Giant's Giant. Like my giant, my giant's giant.
My roll doll.
My roll doll. Thank you both for saving me, even though I called you Erica Piper. Thank you for saving me anyways. It's happened before. I'll do it again, I'm sure. Hamter, thank you. I'm sure I've disappointed you in some way, and it'll happen again. But thank you for being here.
I just watched Raw. There is no disappointment. We just finished this up. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, but we got two more things. Match of the week, anyone? Of all this forgettable graps, I know the only one that stuck out to me. I don't know about y'all.
Eddie and Flair.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Eddie Flair. Exactly. The one pay-per-view quality match in a match full of that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Well done, folks. Well done, Eddie and Flair. And who won this week? Do we even have to say it was Nitro?
Yeah.
It wasn't us. We lost.
Badly.
We lost badly. it wasn't Triple Paul. We're punishing him, so fuck yeah. Hell yes.
It's our punished now run. We've sat through, yes. And now we grow again.
In a sense, you know, you're not wrong, because NWO is here, NWO yeah. for life, mm-hmm. and it's gonna start getting very interesting very quickly and stay that way. Not that, you know, I'm getting sentimental here, folks, on our way out the door. My partner earlier asked me, like, how long you been doing the podcast? And I was like, well, for reasons, because
Gay launched on Pride.
Almost a year. It's like been like 10 months-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. And.
Wow.
Not, it'll be here before we know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pretty quick here. And y'all been here for a like most people is all like the first like 5-6 guests at least the ones who are, you know, still hanging the Discord. Love you, Blue. Miss you, Blue. But heckin' A is happening, and it just got me like thinking about like in this moment of like it's been rough in the sense that like this first 10 months of this show and like Nitro and all that. Theoretically, and well, Nitro at least, Nitro, it gets rough again, unfortunately. But as far as the whole thing goes, like this is from here on out is begun. What, because remember, Panther history in the business, basically. Well, they're still riding, the current industry is still riding the successes that are going to be coming because of what happens next week. And in a lot of ways what happened at that Madison Square Garden show. So this is, it's happening. It's all fucking happening. And we got through the dullest part of Nitro.
That's incredible to me.
Because like from here on out, even when it's bad, it's very interestingly bad. It's not boring bad. It's what in the Jesus fucking Vince Russo Christing shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is a fascinating like time capsule to observe.
And we're here
of bad.
So holy fuck, I'm happy that y'all were here for this episode in that way.
Oh, thanks for having us
on.
Wait, what? Go ahead.
Is this? I don't think this is the first episode with. You've had other tag team episodes.
I've had a couple tag teams. Yes, there was an early tag team, Hessa and Julia, who literally just they said something about like getting invited on a podcast, and I was like, y'all want me on my podcast? Because that's how I, y'all know this is how I am. Like, I'm not easy. Like, I will just pick people at random from the fucking
that's
internet.
That's how you got me.
Yeah. No, I just pick people randomly from the internet and go, you want to watch some graphs? that's the show.
Scan over a post that said gay wrestling and podcast.
I'm there. You're freaking me out.
That's so real. you're, it's like. Oh, go ahead.
The first time that Hamter and I have recorded an official app together, though.
This is the first time that we've had two of the horse people on at once on a not a Patreon episode. So there.
So it is a momentous occasion.
It was a momentous occasion the week before, yet another momentous occasion, and theoretically the day after. Thank y'all for being here. You are two of my guests who don't ever really have anything to plug, but do you want to plug something? Tell people where to find you if you want to be found, or if not, no.
Man, I'm just here. Yeah. I don't do shit but like this. Like, same deal. If you want to have me on your podcast, I'll talk about it. It don't even got to be gay or wrestling. It can be whatever. I'm over it. positivelypiper.bsky.social. That's really the only place to find me nowadays. Hit me up, let's chat. I don't know,
I've seen Piper on other podcasts and it's been a delight. I've edited them. They were great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you did that.
I don't have primary knowledge, but I trust the judgment, Garrick. Yeah, I don't really have anything to plug either. but I have a bunch of Gazan friends, so if you help out in that area, because we could always use more monies. All will be well at bsky.com.
Hell yeah, the bsky is good for such things. Well, thank you.
Mutual aid, build your community
constantly. Mm-hmm. Yes, do it offline as well if you can. I got to get better at that, but Jesus Christ, I'm scared to leave my house. But thank you all for hanging out. Thank you, folks, for listening. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. Did you a little real?
Yeah.
Did you a little too real? Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel like that's been this whole episode. It's like goofs and graps, and then no.
And then just real fucking dark shit.
This used to be Four Horsemen, but now it means. Oh, never mind. We will see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Bye.